Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brendan. I think this is the third time I've been to Bexley North now this year. It's good to see some faces. I love coming back again. Faces are a little bit more familiar than the first and second time. It's such a privilege to read God's Word together. God has spoken to us, and yeah, we're here to listen to Him. So it's a privilege. So let me pray as we hear from God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your kindness you speak to us. Please give us ears to listen and honest hearts to come to listen. Amen. Well, hearing words is easy, just to hear words. In fact, if you wanted to stop hearing my words, you would have to do
Okay. I'll just give my own little sermon while I'm here, shall I? Sorry about that. So you were telling us about stopping hearing, and that's kind of what I did when I. It felt like a planned.
I can assure you that was not planned. Well, I was just talking about hearing words, how easy it is, but. Maybe it wasn't easy for you to hear my words without the microphone, so that was funny. Yeah. But you get the idea, right? You can hear words, they just come into your mind, but if you want to listen to them, you actually have to do something. You have to focus. Hearing words is easy, but listening to them is difficult, right? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you just kind of look over their shoulder and into the distance? And you start thinking about all the things that you have to do that afternoon or something else that's on your mind. I've done that, and I'm ashamed of the times that I've done that. It's terrible. But listening is really difficult sometimes. You know, there's this new instant noodle, this premium instant noodle that you can buy from Coles. And Gloria and I were really excited to try it. And so she said one thing, can you please get this instant noodle? It was half price. And I went to Coles. And I forgot about the noodle, and I bought ice cream instead. Listening is really difficult sometimes, right? You know, sometimes people tell me, hey, I think you should go to the doctor and get that checked. And it's out of love and genuine care, but I find it really hard to listen. Not because I don't think it's a good idea. It probably is a good idea. I just don't want to go to the doctor. And so it's actually hard to listen. See, hearing words is easy, but listening to them is difficult. And there could be a number of different reasons why it's difficult. Today, Jesus says, listen. Don't just hear my words. Don't just hear the words, but listen to them. You know, we have the most important, the most precious words that have ever been spoken in the universe in our hands. We have the very words of God. That's a profound thing. And it would be a tragedy for us to hear God's word but not be listening to them. Today's parable, the parable of the four soils and the sower, it's a really familiar parable. You know, many of us will have heard it before, maybe thought about it before, but it's confronting. Because Jesus says to us today, it's actually possible to be gathered around Him, even for a long time. It's possible to hear God's words for a long time, but not be listening to them. So let's get into the passage. It'd be great to have Luke chapter 8 open. So have Luke chapter 8 open in front of you. And what's been going on is Jesus is traveling on dusty roads from town to town in sweaty sandals. He's going up and down hilly terrain in Middle Eastern climate. These are big journeys from town to town. Why? Why is Jesus doing all this traveling? Well, take a look at verse 1. Verse 1, Jesus was preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God See, that's why Jesus came, to preach and tell the good news. We've seen in Luke's gospel earlier this year that Jesus healed the sick, he cast out demons, he did many miracles, but his priority was to proclaim the news about the kingdom of God. See, Jesus came with a message, words to hear and listen to, words about the kingdom of God, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, peace with God. And actually anything he did, any miracle he did, it pointed towards Jesus' message. However, many people in those days, they saw Jesus' miracles, they even heard his words, but they didn't listen to his message. But there was a group that we learn about in these first few verses who traveled around with Jesus from town to town, the 12 disciples, and some women were with him. And it says in verse 3 that they were supporting him. They were giving out of their own possessions so that Jesus could keep proclaiming the news. Oh, this is quite incredible. They'd met this man not for too long, and now they're giving out of their own possessions so that he can preach a message to others. Their response that they would give to Jesus to support him to preach, it actually shows us that they've listened. They've listened to the message and understood that this is the most important thing, that I'm going to give my life to giving to Jesus. And Luke, he includes some details about two of the women. I don't know if you noticed them as we went through in verse 2 and 3, there's a couple details. And at first you think, why did he include these? They're just kind of random details, and I was a bit confused by them at first. But I think these details, they show us that the women have really listened to the message of Jesus, and they're holding on to it tightly. Look at the first woman that we meet, Mary. We meet Mary in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Mary, called Magdalene, had 7 demons come out of her. Mary's life was transformed by Jesus. Can you imagine having 1 demon possess you, let alone 7? Mary would have been a total reject. She would have had no hope, no life, no future, nothing. And Jesus came and healed her, gave her a life to live again. And so surely she would be interested in supporting Jesus to do more miracles for people, to transform people's lives as her life was transformed. But she gives out of her own possessions. Not that Jesus can do more miracles, but that he can proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. See, Mary understands that the news about the kingdom of God is better and more important than anything else, even being healed. Look at Joanna in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Joanna is the wife of Chuza, who was Herod's steward. Now, Herod was the king of Judea, and a steward was in charge of all of the king's things. So you can imagine what that must have been like, having access to the king's possessions, being a steward of all the king's things. Joanna, she was in a high place in the kingdom of Herod. Yet when she heard the message about the kingdom of God, she gives up her claim to King Herod's possessions. And instead, Joanna gives out of her own possessions to the King Jesus. She chooses to live sacrificially for the kingdom of God instead of in luxury in the kingdom of Herod. You can see these two women. They're examples of people who've listened to Jesus' words, and they hold on to them tightly with their life. Jesus came with a message about the kingdom of God, and true disciples hear his words and listen to them. On one occasion, a large crowd from every town gathered around Jesus. There were probably thousands and thousands of people. The people at the back probably could barely hear me without the microphone working just a few minutes ago. I don't know how they heard Jesus' words. He must have been able to project miraculously to these thousands of people. There were so many around him. And verse 4 says that Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, in a parable. Jesus often speaks in parables. You've probably read through the gospel and heard some of the parables of Jesus. why? Why does Jesus choose to speak in parables? You know, is it to make a kind of complex idea simple or memorable or to help people understand what he's trying to say in a way that kind of resonates with us? You might be surprised by the reason Jesus gives. See, our passage today, it says that Jesus, he spoke in parables so that people would not understand. See, the purpose of parables is to perplex, not to bring understanding. Look at verse 10. It's striking. It's not what we expect Jesus to be doing. Look at verse 10. So Jesus said to his disciples, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you to know, but to the rest, it is in parables, so that looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." A parable is intentionally cryptic. A parable is deliberately hard to understand, so that people might hear the words and not understand them. Why would Jesus do this? Can you imagine this week as I was preparing this sermon, I thought to myself, how could I make this really difficult to understand? How can I write this sermon so that the people at Bexley North have no idea what I'm talking about? How terrible would that be? Why would I do that? Why does Jesus do that? He speaks in a way intentionally so that people don't understand. And you can imagine if you were one of the people in the crowd that day and you heard the parable, you know, there was a man with lots of seed and he sowed it and some fell on this soil and this soil and this soil and it grew here but not there. And then he finishes. What's he talking about? If you put yourself in their shoes, it's actually quite confusing. It's not clear at first what he's talking about. I think two details in the text help us to understand why Jesus speaks cryptically on purpose. Detail one, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 6. It was our Old Testament passage. You might have noticed Jesus was quoting from Isaiah 6. Back in Isaiah's time, God had spoken to his people for a long time. He told them exactly what he wanted. He told them exactly the promises he had for them. But Israel did not listen, and did not listen, and did not listen. And so God said, okay, I'm going to leave you in spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness. And so God judged them by not letting them understand the words. If someone in the crowd that day did not come with an honest heart, if they didn't come ready to listen to Jesus, this parable would have stopped them from understanding. Well, the second detail is throughout Luke's gospel. If you look at all the times that Jesus uses parables, you notice a pattern. I looked up all the times in preparation for this, and it was fascinating that Jesus so often uses parables when people come to him with insincere motives. Let me show you just one example. It's in Luke chapter 15. It's coming up on the screen. And as I read these verses, notice the two groups and their two attitudes to Jesus. On the screen, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So, Jesus told them this parable. You can see that one group has come to listen. They're sitting at Jesus' feet ready to hear what he has to say. I want to listen. I want to know what this man's message is. But another group has come complaining about something, complaining about who he is. They hear his words, but they have not come to listen. And so Jesus speaks in a parable. And those who have come to listen to him understand, but those who've come to complain, will they remain spiritually blind and deaf? See, a parable is like a test. It reveals whether you've come to listen or not. See, amongst the crowd that day that gathered around Jesus when he told this parable, many people heard his words, but only a few were listening. It's why after telling the parable, Jesus says to the crowd, Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. It's the only imperative in the whole passage. Jesus says, don't just hear my words, listen to them. So let's together listen carefully about what Jesus is saying in this parable. The parable, as I said, it's a familiar one. There was a man who sowed seed. He sowed seed in abundance, and it lands on four different places. Some of the seed lands on a path, and it's picked up by the birds. Other seed lands on rocky ground, and because of the rocks, it doesn't grow deep roots. And so when the sun comes, the plants wither, and they don't last. And then some of the seed, it lands amongst the thorns. And so the seed and the thorns grow up together, but after a bit of time, the thorns choke the seed and the plant, and it withers. And then finally, some seed lands on good soil, and it grows and grows and produces 100 times the crop. Jesus says that the seed being sown represents the word of God. So as Jesus is going from town to town proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, that's what the seed represents. The sower sowing the word of God to different people in different places. And each of the soil represents how people listened to Jesus' words. So let's see what Jesus says about each of the soils. Soil one, the seed on the path is snatched away. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, it says, the seed along the path are those who have heard, and when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Just like that. They hear the word, but the devil comes and snatches it straight away. You know, the devil is most active where the gospel is preached. What the devil wants most is for us to not listen to Jesus' words. That's what he wants most. You notice this is a spiritual thing. It's not that someone isn't clever enough to understand. It's that the devil comes and snatches the seed away. I've had conversations with people about Jesus where their impulse is just to find issues with it, to find problems, to find issues. And as I'm speaking, it's as if they're not listening at all, but just searching for reasons to not believe. But sometimes it's more subtle than that. I've had other conversations with people where speaking about Jesus, but it's just as if the words go in and out, just like that. I myself have come to church. I've sung songs, I've said prayers, I've heard the Bible reading read and preached, and I've gone home without remembering anything that I heard. See, the devil rejoices when the word of God is snatched away from our heart. Do not give him that opportunity. Come ready to listen each week. Listen to God's word throughout the week. Let God's word penetrate into your heart. Well, that's the first soil. The second soil was the rocky ground. And the rocky ground lacked depth. Look at verse 13. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. See, the rocks, they prevent the root from going deep. It's as if the listening is superficial. And so when a time of testing comes, or suffering, or doubts, or difficulties, the plant withers in the sun. There's nothing sadder than seeing someone respond with joy to the gospel and then walk away in time of testing. And I'm sure even in this room there's many stories that we could share of people who've initially responded and walked away in a time of testing. The 12 disciples who were with Jesus. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was crucified? They scattered. In a time of testing, the fear of man overcame them, and they scattered. their faith was superficial until the risen Lord Jesus explained the scriptures to them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And you read through Acts and they go through so much testing and trials and difficulties, but stand firm. If we have any chance of surviving tests in life, we must proactively equip ourselves with the Word of God. When a time of testing comes, it's very easy to doubt the goodness of God. It's very easy to doubt the hope that we have. It's very easy to give up on the faith. Do not be content with superficial listening. Allow God's words to break through the surface. Remove whatever rocks are in your life that prevent you from establishing deep roots in God's word. Soil number three. The thorns choke the plant. Look at verse 14. As for the seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life and produce no mature fruit. See, this person hears the good news about the kingdom of God and they trust for a time. But slowly over time, gradually, the world chokes and chokes and chokes their faith dry. Notice what is able to choke your faith in this verse. It's the riches and the pleasures of life. It's a dangerous thing to be rich, because the kingdom of God, it fades into the background when the pleasures of this world are right before us. It's hard to live for the next life when there's so much to pursue in this life. Only a couple of weeks ago, a friend told me that they actually became a Christian when their family lost all of their money in a kind of disastrous moment. Because he realized that money actually doesn't have any security or hope. It's not worth living for. But the kingdom of God is. I don't pray that you lose your wealth, but if you did and that led to you gaining the kingdom of heaven, that would be the greatest exchange of your life. Jesus is not saying that the pleasures of life are bad, but he's saying, watch out. Don't let them choke your faith. Don't let them distract you from the kingdom of God. The pleasures of life can stop us from hearing and listening to Jesus' words. Beware of the dangers of riches and pleasures. Receive them with thanksgiving, but never hope in them. Well, finally, the soil number four, the good soil. The good soil holds on to the words of God. Look at verse 15. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit. Notice three things about how the people in the good soil respond by listening. Firstly, they hear with an honest and good heart. Now, this really surprised me. I remember reading this passage in preparation, and I was waiting for it to say, and they heard and they understood. But it doesn't say that. It says, having heard the word with an honest and good heart. I think it makes a lot of sense, actually. Because only when you come to Jesus honestly, ready to listen what he is saying, will you hear what he says. It's very easy to come to Jesus to hear what you want him to say, to twist his words just so subtly, to not be challenged and rebuked when he is rebuking us. It's only when we come with honest motives, wanting to hear what Jesus is saying to us, that we will actually understand. Well, the second thing to notice is that the people in the good soil, when they listen, they hold on. They hold on to Jesus' words. Like a treasure. that you don't want to give up, like a gold mine that's endless that you can keep digging, like a lamp that guides your path. They hold on to it. They feed on God's word and live by it. When the devil comes to snatch the word away, they hold on. When the tests and temptations and difficulties of life come, they hold on to God's word. When the pleasures of this world seduce, they hold on to the word of God. Thirdly, by enduring, they produce fruit. It takes endurance to hold on to God's word. There's going to be times in life where we don't want to hold on to God's word. It takes enduring. But by enduring, you will produce fruit. God promises his people that if you hold on to his word, you will grow to be more like him. People in your life will come to faith and be transformed and come to trust in him. See, Jesus' teaching today, it exhorts us to listen. Listen honestly. Hold on, endure. It would be a tragedy to hear the words of God and not be listening. Now, the four soils, it's not meant to make you worried and afraid. Am I the second soil? Am I the third soil? Am I the fourth soil? Which one am I? Jesus is telling us to listen. Come and listen with an honest heart. And see all these ways, all these things that will stop you from listening to my words. Don't let them stop you. Don't let the devil snatch it away. Don't have shallow roots. Let it go deep. And don't let the pleasures of this world distract you from my words. Come and listen. Listen to Jesus' words. Every week, every day. But this passage, it has one brief thing to say about proclaiming. See, the sower, he sows unsparingly. Did you notice? He scoops up seed and he throws it wherever he can. My failed gardening attempts, it takes, you know, I get three seeds and I dig three little holes and put them in and fertilize the ground and water it, and then nothing grows, and oh, this isn't what I hoped. This is not the sower's approach. He just throws the seed everywhere. In evangelism, we often just focus on one person and we wait for just the right time to share the gospel with them, and then maybe they don't respond how we'd hoped. But the sower, his source is a bottomless bag of seed. He never runs out. He sows and sows on anyone that he can find. See, there's no limit of the amount of gospel that we can share. We don't have a limit to how much gospel we can share. There's no limit of the endless promises and hope that are stored up in the gospel in the kingdom of heaven. We're never lacking. Our Lord Jesus proclaimed to all in that crowd that day, knowing that many of them would not listen to him. He even proclaimed to Judas Iscariot, whose faith would be choked out by 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knew that Judas would reject him, yet he proclaimed the news anyway. How much more should we proclaim to everyone we come into contact with when we don't know how they will respond? Today, Jesus has encouraged us to listen honestly and hold on to his words and to proclaim the gospel unsparingly to all. Let me pray in light of what we've heard. Father, we praise you and thank you for the message of the kingdom of God, for eternal life, for forgiveness of sins in Jesus. Please help us to hear your words and listen to them with an honest heart, to hold on to them, and by enduring, produce fruit. Amen.